Because of the Cape Drive time, welcome back. 072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp line. Health and beauty retailer and pharmacy Clicks has found itself in the eye of a racial storm after an advert promoting negative sentiments about black women's hair being dry and other things, which I don't understand, was reflected in an advert. While Clicks said it understood the responsibility to remove prejudice from society, calls amounting for the retailer to explain how the advert was flighted. The retailer has since apologized. I have seen the apology. But what does this mean for the image of the company? Online is Solly Moeng, founder of Don Valley Reputation Managers. Solly, welcome.
Thank you, Shafiq, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Yeah, I was going to put in a record. Apparently, it was Tresemme shampoo. I don't have very much hair on the top of my head, so shampoo for me is not really much of a national issue. Nevertheless, is this a case of carelessness on the shop floor or gross neglect by Clicks management?
I think it's neglect and carelessness on the part of the marketing team. You must remember that the brand teams are the message carriers of the between the brand and the communities out there and the markets out there. And these people have got to always be attuned to the sensitivities in the market that is they operate, in the market in which they want to sell stuff. You can't go to a country, you can't go to Saudi Arabia and start selling pork in the streets, for instance. You have to understand the sensitivities in that market. You have to understand the sensitivities in South Africa. South Africa race is one of the biggest fault lines of South Africans. If you shout there's a racist in the room filled with South Africans, you're going to have a stampede. You know, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
So these guys, I don't look. The fact that it's not the first time that it's happening with Clicks is even more worrisome. It means that they did not learn from the first time. It means that there's something wrong inside the company, in the corporate culture. You can't keep making the same mistake more than once, twice.
No, absolutely. They've certainly been punished for it in more ways than one. What do you make of the EFF's response to it? Is the EFF using this as a political prop because they haven't had much to go on since COVID? Or would you say they have an authentic, genuine case or axe to grind here?
Well, the first point, the EFF is very opportunistic. I think they're trying to use a nuclear weapon to attack an ant. I'm not saying this thing is not insignificant. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that, look, our economy, we have to look at the broader picture as well. We are trying to emerge from COVID-19. A lot of businesses have shut down. People have lost their jobs and livelihoods. The economy is on its knees. We are junk rated. All of those things mean that we have to make whatever part of our economy that is still functioning to function. But it doesn't mean that people must get away with the kind of stuff that these people are doing. We have the Equality Court in South Africa, and it's a good thing that some people are already taking clicks to the Equality Court. But there's got to be consequence, because this is unacceptable. I mean, I've seen the ad. Let me tell you this. I have a daughter who has hair like the ones you saw in the ad, and I can tell you that my daughter's hair is not dull, okay? So
right, yeah.
I think that it cannot be right. People like think that transformation means having the right number of blacks or colors or Indians in a room. No. And I've been in those situations. A lot of times we have juniors who are not given the space to say, I don't agree with that, or who are simply afraid. They sit there and they mimic what the bosses say. What the idea and the worth of having a diverse team is, it means that you get different views, different perspectives. And clearly, you don't have those perspectives here. Otherwise, whoever got to the point of saying, okay, this ad is good to run, let's run with it, would have had the opportunity to hear different views, that maybe not, because it's not going to work. And it didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still amazed that major retailers are still not thinking. It's only thought that sort of can come into my head. I mean, we've discussed this already with other companies. I mean, I'm asking myself, it's rhetorical, I know, what on earth is going on if companies that are at the cutting edge of South African society don't know their customers.
Look, exactly, and the point, and this helps me finish the point I was making earlier, that transformation is not just about quotas and numbers. Transformation is about the corporate culture as well. We've also seen a lot of big companies bringing in black talent, but the environment in the businesses doesn't allow them to operate because it's so old style, it's so old South Africa. So you don't just bring in people and have and look at your BEE scorecard and say, yeah, we've got the numbers, yeah, okay. You've got to change the culture, you've got to change the way your attitude, you've got to change the way you interact with your broader stakeholder community, you've got to change the way you put stuff out into the public. And clearly this is not happening. People think that being level 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 is just about having the right numbers. No, it goes way beyond that. And look, South Africans, all of us, we have grown up in a country where there are racial silos. You know, black people think certain things about white think certain things about black, about colors, about Indians. It's all of that. And that people grow up with these things. Sometimes I don't think people deliberately said, let's go after black people. I really do not believe that's the case. It's just that this unconscious insensitivity or unconscious racism actually sometimes can be worse than conscious racism.
Yeah, I mean, you've spoken about the corporate world. I mean, as a journalist, we float in and out of a lot of scenarios, I'll put it that way. And right. I must confess, the patronization that I see in some of our major corporates and our banks, I've had dealings with right. a number of banks. I'm not going to say which brand. They put black faces on the cutting edge expressing white ideas. I'm sure you know exactly what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're talking about.
I mean,
and that's the problem. The problem because exactly. And I'm a consultant. I've sat in companies where that sort of thing you just described happens. You know, if people sit there, they drive nice cars, they have a fancy job with a fancy title on their business card, but actually when they sit in planning meetings, they have nothing to say. Either because they are afraid to say it, or they're not allowed the space, or they get to a point where they get so used to being pushed back that they don't want to lose their jobs and all those perks. So they might as well stay there and provide the company with the numbers it needs to be BEE compliant, while they know that they're not adding the kind of change that needs to happen in the way things are done.
But I mean, what amazes me is that companies don't actually realize the value of these young people who are, you know, in the empowerment framework, because they come right. from communities which are potential clients. And I'm still scratching my head to understand why corporate South Africa in particular has to be so arrogant about this. I mean, I haven't got the answer, but I mean, I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, but I think we also need to be careful, and we shouldn't generalize. I mean, there
exactly,
are some
yes,
really
yes.
good things happening in South Africa, and we should applaud those things, but from time to time, something like this comes up, you know, and when this kind of thing happens, we must localize our criticism. We mustn't throw everybody else under the bucket, under the bus because of it. It's true that there's a lot of work to be done, on all sides, the corporates are solving, I mean, everything we've just described, there are changes that need to happen. But where there are also corporates that really go out and do the right thing because they see the importance of doing so. And we should acknowledge them.
No, absolutely. And I agree with you 100%. Something else that is kind of worrying is that Tresemme is, I think, an international brand. And we've spoken about other international brands, the T-shirt company having that awful ad. It seems as if some of the international brands are really hyper-insensitive, not only to South Africans, but towards blacks in general. Let's be blunt about it.
Yeah, look, it comes down to who gets to approve things before they go out. I'll tell you what, I mean, I used to work with one major retailer here in South Africa. I don't know if I should mention their names. And I can, because it's a good story, actually. It's Woolies.
Right.
Now, when Woolies bought the business in Australia, I remember because I was responsible for corporate reputation there. And when we saw models coming, you know, ads from the Australian stores coming into South Africa with models that would have offended people here in South Africa, we said, oh, stop. Those maybe work in Australia, they do not work here. South Africa is a very diverse country. Actually, much of the world is increasingly diverse. If you work in a diverse world, we have to have the sensitivities around what could, how people would receive the things that you want to throw out. And I think more businesses should do that. If you have presence elsewhere, if you have a parent company in another part of the country, of the world, they might bring stuff here without deliberately meaning to offend, but it's your job to say to your people out there, guys, okay, this might work over there, but it can't work here, and let me tell you why it can't work here.
Yeah, it's interesting, but of course it's interesting that Australia was having this lily white image, I should imagine, because there are significant right. minorities. Australia is becoming as diverse a society as any other one in the world.
Right. Yeah, but again, the thing is, in South Africa, we've got big women. You know, there was a debate about thin, medium, and big women. I mean, you've got, you know, and in Australia, you don't. It looks like big is not as dominant as it is in South Africa. So if you're going to have all your clothing models being like thin people, it means that you're not talking to the audience that you're trying to reach here. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So one has to have things like that as well. If you're saying what's a model? What is beauty? Who defines beauty? Who defines a beautiful body? You know, there are also cultural issues in there. And marketers have to be au fait with this. And they have to understand that beauty is not always thin in all over the world. In some places, beauty is, you know, voluminous. It's like, you know, big and medium.
Now,
and how do you speak to that when you put products into the market?
No, absolutely. I mean, do you think that we're talking about something that is quite neglected? It seems to be, judging by the mistakes that a lot of corporations are making, not just in South Africa, but elsewhere as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that I've listened to young people or marketing people and authors and journalists in London, in the UK, saying, totally telling about the frustrations they face in the newsroom, in marketing teams, you know, getting the struggle they have to get their voices heard, because, you know, all over the world there's a dominant culture, and because of history, because of colonialism, you know, where we come from as a country, as a world, you know, there's this very European, Eurocentric view of the world that says this is the idea of beauty, this idea of this, but while it might work in some areas, we all have a responsibility to ask ourselves some of the things that we take for granted, that we've always taken for granted, maybe we shouldn't always take for granted. Maybe we should start asking ourselves some of the questions that have to be asked in order to make everybody feel at home. We need to create a world where that is a home for all, and nobody can run away. Like you say, there are fewer and fewer countries that are racially, religiously, culturally homogenous.
Absolutely. Solly Moeng, founder Don Valley Reputation Managers, talking to us about the clicks thing. Thanks a lot. Stay safe.
It's a pleasure. You too. Bye-bye.